Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about IT as a process. And this is something that we've been working on for a long time. And it's something that I think as I begin to see what other people are trying to do and how people do things in IT and what I do at work and what I've seen in other organizations and how they did things, process is huge. And I think not enough people focus on that. And you need a process for workstations, how you're going to install them, how you're going to set them up, how you're going to deploy that. Deploying software should be a process. Setting up a server should be a process. Security should be a process. You know, there should be a security process for checking for viruses, for your logs. There's a bunch of stuff you can do as a process that helps you repeat things. And we've been working on that with your Raspberry Pi project.
Right. And one of the good things about the process is that if you do everything the same way, you know, consistency, it's a lot easier to troubleshoot. But I really kind of want to share with everybody how we're working our projects. Usually we get into a project we know nothing about, and we want to learn about it. And so we get started. And then we're like kind of fumbling around. Oh, no, we got to do this. Oh, we need an IP address. Oh, we need this or we need that. So the very first time that we try it is we don't document anything because we don't know what we're doing. We just do the research and, oh, this works. Oh, this doesn't work or whatever. Then we do it again. So I'm going to use my Raspberry Pi as an example. The first time that we kind of tried to figure out what we needed to do, we just did the research. In doing the first Pi, we created a plan that had configuring the network settings, test the network settings, installing SSH, and configure the apt cacher. And then if it didn't work, we had our plan to reinstall the Raspbian Stretch Lite. So we began like that. As we got into it, it was kind of interesting because the first thing that we found out is like, why is, you know, we're trying to configure one of the files and we couldn't use one of the keys. It just wasn't coming out right. And so we stopped, did some research and realized that the default keyboard for the Raspbian Stretch Lite was the UK keyboard. So now we had to go and say, okay, we need to configure it, you know, for a US keyboard.
Yeah, right. So we talked about some of these things in a previous podcast.
Right.
So the big thing here, I think the most important thing about all of this is that you have your checklist, right? Or your right. plan for the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's short. There's not a lot on there.
Like there was only four items.
Yeah, right. So like we don't have certain things in there because we didn't know they should be in there.
Correct.
So I think in this particular case, the plan is a great starting point because you don't know a whole lot and we're learning. As you
right.
said.
But the problem is, and this is some of the things that we do, and then as we repeat the process over and over again, we realize, we didn't document how to plug things in, for example. Or we left out the part of the keyboard. Oh, now we realize all the Raspberry Pis have the same name. Now we need to change the host name, which is something that we had to add to the four items. And then when we did the network configuration, you said to me, okay, you got four Raspberry Pis. We need IP addresses for the four Raspberry Pis. You need to let me know what subnet needs to be on that. So, you know, we ended up doing the configuration file, putting that information in, and then that made it easier to do it on the next Pi. Another thing is we were going to install SSH, and we realized that when we looked at the services, it was there. We just needed to enable it, so we documented that as well.
Right. So we had a lot of things documented. So mm-hmm. we went to the second Raspberry Pi. We learned some things there. But then you went to the third Raspberry Pi. And while we haven't configured that yet, we created a change ticket for that.
Yeah.
And what does that checklist look like?
So remember, the first one was only four items, right? It was configure network settings, test network settings, install SSH, and configure app cacher. By the time that we are going to get ready to do the Raspberry Pi this weekend, I believe, this is our plan. We're going to plug in the Raspberry Pi 3. We're going to move from the 2 to the 3, the HDMI cable and the keyboard dongle. Then we have to change the keyboard layout, change the host name, do the network configuration, enable SSH, create a file for the app cacher client-side configuration, reboot it to make sure that all the changes go in. And then at the end, we're going to test the internet, DNS, and SSH. And if all that works, it's fine. If it doesn't, we go back to our fallback plan, which is reinstall Raspbian the stretch line and start all over again.
Yeah, and that's awesome, because this is an example of you doing your homework, or we both of us doing our homework, saying, okay, we need a place to start. Let's have a plan. Okay, what's our goal here? We've got four items on the list. Great. As we go through the process, we realize we're missing a lot in our plan. So we add to the plan as we go along. So by the time you get to the fourth Raspberry Pi, you may have added other things to that list.
Well, one of the things I noticed is when we did the first one, you know, we kind of had those four items as a plan, and we were like, okay, we're doing this, that, and the other, and we didn't document some of the other things. And while the two was easier because we knew those things were there and we did add it to the documentation, we realized that, okay, for the third Pi, we needed to add more items. And that's kind of how our process is kind of growing and our checklist is getting better every day.
Right. And you were kind of, when we did the second Raspberry Pi, you were like, okay, you were, how should I put this? You were kind of disappointed that certain things were not in the list. Certain things weren't done a certain way. And I get that. I'm kind of like that myself, where, you know, like I've said this before, if you're going to do security, do it all or don't do anything.
You know what disappointed me? No, hang on. You know what disappointed me the most? That I'm sitting in there and I can't use the keyboard. And you're like, did you move the dongle down to the next Pi? Okay, layer one, did you try plugging it on and off, or did you try turning it on and off? Is it plugged in? This is the part that really bothered me. And then I realized the reason why it bothered me is because I didn't make it part of the checklist or the process. And that should be something that it should be basics. You go into a job and somebody's going to pay you whatever they pay you an hour, and it turns out that you didn't even check the cable, it wasn't on. What happened to you? Remember that story?
Exactly. So I had that situation when I worked for the ISP, and we had deployed, well, we configured the device, sent it to the client. We're not there. The client is actually plugging this thing in themselves. So when they connected everything, and then we had to remotely connect to this particular device.
Right.
So I'm trying to reach it. We tried to ping it. We tried to do a whole bunch of stuff. We asked him to check the cables and all of that. What did we all forget? We forgot to turn the device on.
Because the old one that you were replacing didn't have the turn on button,
well,
right?
Well, it's the way around. So the old one that we sent out there had an on-off switch. The new ones that we were using in other locations didn't have that. All you had to do was plug it in. So it wasn't something that was on the checklist.
Right.
And like you said, even if you think it shouldn't be on the checklist
because it's too basic.
Right, it's too basic. Who's going to be so dumb that they wouldn't remember to turn it on? Mm-hmm. Put that on your checklist. Make that part of the process.
Because imagine, how long did it take you guys to figure that out?
We were there for like 15 minutes trying to figure out why we couldn't reach it.
Yeah.
And not only that, I had a manager sitting there helping us out. And it was like, you know, I'm not sure what the guy was thinking. Like, hey, this guy is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Why he's on my team, I don't know. And then we finally figured out that the guy at the other end
Didn't turn it on.
So, you know.
I know. And that's the thing, is like, when people are paying you good money, you can't afford to sit in there for 20 minutes, half an hour, sometimes an hour, figuring out something really basic that if it's on your checklist, you would have known.
Exactly. And this is where process comes into play. If you have a good, solid process for things, doesn't matter what it is, a workstation, laptop, printer, even a simple printer that doesn't have very many options, make it a process so that, and part of that process is going to be your documentation. What IP address did you put on there? Is it labeled? You know, all of these little things that you think are not important, they really are important and they have to be there. Like you said, moving the dongle from the first Raspberry Pi to the second Raspberry Pi. If you don't know that there's supposed to be a dongle connected, how are you going to know to look for that?
Right.
And also, if you're the person that doesn't do this very often, maybe you're covering for somebody else, then you need to have all these things on the list. So you know, hey, there's a dongle somewhere. Let me go look for it. It says it's in the documentation, so I got to go make sure I move that. If it's not in there, how are you going to know?
Well, and for me, having even those little steps in there, think about this. You have your process. You go from, is it plugged in all the way to the end? when you have to troubleshoot it, you can say, it's not layer one because I've already done that in my process, and then move on to the next layer, you know. So I think it's important.
Yeah, and this is something that I think is really important, to sort of figure out where we are in the process in terms of different devices and different situations we find ourselves in. And I think the important thing that we're learning from all of this, even though we're kind of moving at turtle speed, that's okay. You know, once we get this figured out, and I know it's for Raspbian Lite, and you're not going to see Raspbian Lite in an enterprise environment, but it's this process of saying, how do I create good documentation? How do I know I've covered everything? And I think one of the things I've learned over the years is that if my list has 5 things on it, something's wrong. Yeah. 5 is not enough. If my list has 10 things on there, oh, maybe I'm getting close. Now, if my list has 20, 30, 40 things on it, oh, I'm good, because I know that's a lot and that's what it's supposed to look like, because there's a lot of things that I'm going to be doing. So those are the kinds of things that you learn over time by doing these things. And I think that that's one of the things I'm having an issue with, because what you're doing is the technical side of things. And the process is kind of staring you in the face. There's no IP address. Oh, I got to configure one. There's no SSH service on here. Oh, I got to turn that on, or I have to install it. Oh, there's no apt cacher, because I know we have that on the network and I know it's going to make my updates happen quicker because I'm going to download from our local server on the network. I need to have that configured, right? But now when we talk about some of the other security things that we're trying to do, that's when things get a little confusing, because you're going from technical to sort of kind of abstract ideas of how things are supposed to be done. And that includes things like your business impact analysis. Well, what is that? Well, that's where you try to figure out how a bad event is going to impact the organization. Fire happens. How does that affect the organization? What kinds of things can you do to minimize the impact of that particular disaster? Well, those are things that are kind of harder to understand. How do you do a risk assessment for an organization? That's more abstract.
How do you do a recovery plan?
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, and one of the things that I think for me, the beauty of working on the technical side of things is I'm still kind of trying to solidify in my head the client-server relationship. And, you know, at the beginning with the first PI, I know App Cacher and I know what it does, but I wasn't really understanding how the whole thing was set up. And you're like, oh, you know, by the time you get done with this project, you're going to understand. Well, when you had me create that file for the client side configuration, it kind of dawned on me, oh, okay, this is client side configuration. And then I'm like, so where is the server? And that's when you said to me, oh, it's in the Gigabyte server. So now I have a better idea of how what I'm doing relates to the network. You know, so I think also part of the process, it forces you to understand what you're doing and how the devices relate to each other. And having that consistency of having the checklist and having a plan and saying, wait a minute, for this device to do this, this is what you need to do. And having the configurations, you know, it does help.
It does help.
And I don't care if it's a turtle speed process, because I think by the time we get done, we're going to be able to do it faster and better because we took the time to do it at turtle speed and take the time to learn and write.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that for me is huge is that when we did the first one, we didn't know what we were doing. We had issues. We had to go look stuff up. And that took us a long time to get that first one done. And that's even with my own Linux experience, because I haven't been doing it enough. There was a lot about that particular situation I didn't know. And you brought up things that I hadn't even thought of, commands that you wanted to type in. And I'm like, okay, let's type them. And then look at that. There's something in here that we don't have to install. It's already there. So those are the kinds of things I look at and go, oh, that's really cool. But to me, what's really, really cool about this particular process we have is that we have some documentation, and we have within our change management process evidence of things becoming better, in that we went from 4 things on the list to a bunch of things on the list, and it's growing. And when we did the second one, it was a lot easier to do that. We were all over the place, but we weren't all over the place on the internet. Where did we go? We went to the documentation. And I think we had to go look up one thing.
Yeah, we had to update some of the documentation and we did have to look up one thing. But by the time we wrote the ticket for the third pie, our list had grown by 5 more items than what we had before.
Right. And I think when we did that second Raspberry Pi, it took us less than an hour to finish that.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised, actually.
I mean, even with the fact that I think it might have been the keyboard thing or something. We had to look up something. But even after looking that up, we still finished in less than an hour.
Right.
I mean, I think it maybe took us 40 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. So that's a sign that we're doing something right, because we remembered a lot of things, but there was no way we were going to remember what commands to type in.
I think what took us long is we had a problem with the updates.
I think what happened was we couldn't remember what the command was to check for services.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we had to look up. But, you know, yeah, that was one of the things that I learned on the very first Raspberry Pi when I was trying to do the pen testing project, that it was service status dash all.
Something like that.
Yeah. And it you know, in the book, it said something like, check for services. And if there is a plus, they're turned on. If they don't show, they're not there. And if there is a minus, you have to enable them. And the thing that we ended up, we had trouble is that we didn't turn the service on one of the things that we did. I think it was the...
Well, there was a bunch of commands were trying to, you know, I think it was a service command. We couldn't remember how to type that in.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have documentation that we're using, we can look it up, we can find it, and it didn't take us long to get the second Raspberry Pi configured. Hmm. And now, you know, when we look at the third one, your list is longer. You know more about what's going on. You have better documentation. You know how to find that better.
And but you know what's going to happen. By the time we get to the fourth, we'll have more stuff to put in there.
Well, yeah. And one of the things that I'm going to require you to do for the fourth one, when you make your plan, it has to include all the commands that you need in order to do the work you need to do on that particular device.
Right.
So if you were going to do a Cisco switch, all your configuration stuff needs to be in there. You can't say you have a plan unless that's there.
Well, the thing that you forget, too, is that we enable SSH on all the, you know, we're going to be enabled that on all the Pis. Right now we have two of them done. And the app cacher. But you realize the only thing that we have actually installed in that is that Raspbian Stretch Lite. Now we're going to have to do the web server, the file server, DNS, right? And what was the other one? DHCP. So that's another thing that we're going to have to add to the checklist and the documentation as we're adding the different kinds of services that we want to provide from the data center.
Right. But those are going to be separate checklists, because what we're doing for this one is we're saying, okay, what is a basic configuration that we need for our Raspberry Pi in order for it to function on the network? Once it's on the network and functioning, it's got an IP address, it's got the updates, it's got SSH in there so I can remotely manage the system. I don't have to sit next to it, right? So if you're doing a Linux server in an enterprise environment, you don't want to have to go down to the data center every single time you need to work on a server. You want to do that from the comfort of your desk, right? You sit there with your coffee and your snacks and your big screen, and you just SSH into the system.
I know, that was really cool, SSHing from one Pi to another. I was so impressed.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that you want for a basic configuration. Once that's done, you walk away from the data center, you go to your desk. Now what you can do is you can SSH into that particular system and manage it remotely from your desk. And then you can say, okay, where's my checklist for the services I need for this particular system, right? Whether that's a web server, DHCP, DNS, whatever that might be, you can add that in after you have the basic configuration in there.
Right.
After you've already updated the system.
Yeah, and I was talking more about the documentation, you know, like on ITOP and
right, but that. One of the things you can do as a process is you can say, okay, for my data center, if I want to add in a new server without the services, just a basic configuration, here's the process.
That's the whole process.
And then let's say, for example, you're busy. You don't have time for that. You say, hey, I need you to go and add a new Raspberry Pi to our data center. Follow the process. Here it is. Go do it.
Right.
And then you can fill in some of the information that I need, right? Because I may not know that. You can give me host name, IP address, you know, what things to update, what services I may want to install. And then you can say, okay, for the services, I need you to go to these locations within our documentation and follow the process for a second DNS server, you know, a file server or whatever it is you want me to install as a service. So that's where I think we're going to end up, is we're going to have these kinds of things ready to go. And again, it's not something you're going to see in an enterprise environment, but these are the kinds of things that I wish more IT departments would have, because a lot of times when you go and you talk to these people, they have no idea what to do when they want to go set up a new workstation or a new printer or a new server. And it's like, wait, how do you not know how to do this? This is your network.
Right. No, and I mean, and if you have a chance to secure it, you got to know what you got and you got to know how it's set up. And if you have it consistent with a process, it's going to be a lot easier for you to say, wait a minute, that's not my process. This is not right. Maybe this is a rogue thing that somebody else configured, because here in our enterprise environment, we have a process and this is what we use. So, you know, I think there's a lot of value in that.
There is. And, you know, one of the things I want to point out here is that you had another Raspberry Pi project that you were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for security purposes.
Correct.
And you had some issues there. You had issues with Linux because you weren't used to that. You didn't know how to use that. And then you had issues with the client server stuff. And I will say this about the client server piece. It got really confusing really quickly. So you were not the only one that had issues with that. So did I. And so that's one of the reasons why we decided to do this project, is because we needed both of us to get more familiar with Linux, more familiar with client server, more familiar with creating a process and making sure we have good, solid documentation. And one thing that I think is really important to talk about here is the necessary skills to do certain things.
Well, and one of the things that I'd like to revisit from that first project, the first Raspberry Pi that I try to do the project in, because I'm not giving up on that project. I think right now I could probably go and try to look at the reverse SSH part, and I bet you I would have a better understanding of what they were asking me to do, because, you know, at the time, and of course, you know, mind you, I thought I was picking up a really basic project when I did pick it up, because that's what it said. It was a beginning project that was going to teach you about, you know, Linux, and then, you know, some of the basics of penetration testing. But what they didn't tell you is that basic in IT, they're expecting you to know a lot, you know, and books will assume that you know certain things or that you understand other things. And for me, I have to understand that project as well, because this one, I think, is really valuable because it's teaching me so much. And I look at the Linux videos and I'm like, okay, I'll try this command and see what it says, you know. But using the commands to actually, you know, during the process that we are trying to do, is actually solidifying a lot of those commands in my head. And then even if I may not remember them, you know, I know where things are in a certain directory. I know kind of how to CD into it and do my LS and do my less whatever and do my nano when I need to edit a file or add a file, you know? So it's like, I'm kind of learning it, and, you know, I still don't know a lot about Linux, but I know more than I did before. And I actually, the fact that I'm able to use it in a project is very important to me, because once I use it, I retain it better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we go through the process of using Linux in this particular case, mm-hmm. you're learning a lot about that. And there's a lot of Linux in the security world. So that's good. But one of the things I want to kind of share here is this idea that, because a lot of times what people will talk about in the security world is a lack of skill sets. In other words, people don't have the right skills to be in security. And I find that sometimes you're in situations where things are just really goofy. So you and I know an organization that we used to go to. I used to work for them. And their IT department was really goofy. They knew some things, so they weren't total idiots. I hate saying that word, but sometimes you just wonder about certain people, because while they knew certain things, there were some obvious things where they didn't know them. And I hate to say the word idiot, but
no, I think the hardest part is that they thought they knew, And that was the saddest thing for me.
And that's what I'm trying to get to, is mm-hmm. that they thought they knew certain things
right.
and they didn't. And they weren't willing to go to people who did know things, because we had people there that understood IT inside and out, and they refused, or they were unwilling to go and ask for help.
Do you think they were unwilling, or do you think they were afraid to let people know they didn't know?
I think it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that I thought was really goofy. We had Windows 7 on the workstations,
mm-hmm.
and I think it might have been Server 2008, and it was a domain environment. So they had access to things like Active Directory. And I remember one time, one of the people that was working in IT, he said, "We're trying to figure out how to do a print server, and we're looking at some third-party software for that so we can manage the printers." And I told him, I said, "What are you doing? Why would you do that? Active Directory or Microsoft servers come with a print server." And he's like, "They do? Really?" I said, "Yeah, it's in there." And I'm somebody who doesn't even know a whole lot about Windows servers. I'm not, I can do Windows servers now because
back then you were more of a Cisco guy.
Back then, yes, I was more of a Cisco guy. Mm-hmm. I did more Cisco things, more of a network engineer than anything else. But I had taken the class for, server stuff, and that was covered. And the other thing I saw them do that I thought was kind of goofy is that they would send somebody around the building to go to each individual workstation and check settings. And I thought, why are you doing that? And he said, "Well, we have some stuff that we want to make sure is configured properly." And I thought, isn't that something that you can do out of Active Directory and push it out as a group policy? But they didn't know how to do some of these things. And again, that goes back to knowing your skills and knowing the products that you're working with so that you can create a process. Like in this particular situation that we have with our Raspberry Pi data center, we didn't really understand Raspbian Lite and how to configure things like the network configurations, some other stuff on there with the commands for managing services. I didn't know that. That was new to me. So these are the kinds of things that by taking the time to figure these things out, asking the right questions, going online, doing the homework, we learned how to do these things. And some of them you knew and I didn't. So, we're learning together how to do these things so that we don't end up in that situation where somebody says, "Hey, I got a Linux server. How do you manage that?" Well, now we know there's a command to look at services.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be those people who don't know how to do certain things or are unwilling to ask for help when we need it.
But see, this is what scares me. And I hope I'm not like that. When I looked about those people that we talked about, how they thought they knew a lot and they would run around, "Hey, I know everything," kind of bit. The part that scares me as someone trying to get into the IT world is that, what if I don't know what to ask because I don't have that experience? What if I miss that very crucial question, granted, I don't think I'm one of those people that will run around thinking that I know everything.
But you're onto something though, because how do you know what to ask and when to ask it and what's missing? And I think that's, if you go to somebody and you say, "Something is not right and I don't know what it is," that's better than not telling anybody because you don't know why it doesn't work. Because then you're going to be sitting there with a device that's not working or a system that's not working. And eventually somebody's going to find out that it's not working. So it's better off that you just say, "Hey, I need help. This isn't working right. I don't know what to do with this. What do I do?" And you may find out that they don't know either. So that's the kind of thing that I think for me, if I were to run an IT business, and we've talked about this, it's all about the process. And sometimes I would, and this is something that I haven't really done very well myself, but it's something that I thought about over and over the years. Every so often I'll think about this. That's something we all do. Why isn't that a process?
Well, one of the things that, like this morning I had a little episode and I felt like a blooming idiot, to be honest with you, because there was one of my coworkers. She's like, "How do you get into OneNote?" And I said, "Well, did you sign into your Office 365? Because that's part of OneNote, correct? She couldn't find her notebooks. And, you know, she was logged into Office 365, but her OneNote stuff was not there. So I'm like, well, did you sync it? You know, I mean, I'm thinking about all of these things in there. So one of the IT guys came over to help her, and he couldn't figure out why her notebooks weren't there. And they're like, well, I don't know. You know, did you delete them? And I'm like, why would she delete them? All she did was move her computer from one place to another. And you know, so I asked him, and I said, well, shouldn't they be there? Isn't that like in the cloud? That's where you get the server? And he just kind of looked at me and walked away. And I was like, did I ask a stupid question? I felt really dumb.
You know, in that situation, the person you were talking to probably did not know where OneNote lived.
Well, isn't it by default, doesn't it reside in the, what do you call those? The username, you know, they had like a path on the C drive that it goes
correct,
into that.
Correct.
I mean, now, I couldn't yell it out and tell you, but I'm thinking.
Yeah. So there is a way to get OneNote to work with the cloud. And I'm not sure if the Office 365 thing does that by default or not. Sometimes they store it locally and then some of it's in the cloud. Depends on how you have that configured. But there is an option to where you can sync it with the cloud if you so choose to. So that's something that you have to take into consideration. We use OneNote at work, but we don't have the Office 365 version of that.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where you got new technology. You may need a new process for that.
For us, we have Office 365, and then we have the OneNote and the email to where we can actually, you know, have our files and send them in the email from OneNote and what have you. That's why when I sat in there, and, you know, I mean, the only reason why I asked that question was because I wanted to know, because I don't know how, you know, Office 365 works.
And so,
he just looked at me and walked away, and I'm like, what did I do?
You know? So that's a situation where I would say, based on what you've told me about your organization and some of the goofiness that goes on with the IT department, no offense to some of those people, but this happens in a lot of organizations. It's not just yours. It's not just mine. There's a lot of organizations where, you know, for me, having been in IT for over 10 years, I realized that there are some things we all do, that are repeatable processes. We do them over and over. Why is it that we're always trying to reinvent the wheel? And in this particular case, my guess is they haven't trained their employees in the IT department on how some of their technology functions.
But what was wrong with the question I asked? Was I wrong? I mean, is it?
I think it's one of those things where he doesn't know.
But I didn't know.
Well, he doesn't either.
Well, all he could have said is like, I'll take care of it or whatever. Don't make me feel like crap. You're standing there. Walk away from me.
Well, I think that's just one of those cases where, you know, this guy's goofy. He doesn't know the answer to your question. You're asking all the right questions because you want to know, but they don't even know. And I think that goes back again to the skills and the training and the process. If you're going to deploy Office 365, you need to have people in IT that know how to use Office 365. Doesn't mean that everybody needs to know that, because you may have some people who,
right, they may be good at Excel or, you know,
they may be, you know, maybe they're, you know, doing the Linux servers, or they're the network engineers, and they're not, you know, their main focus is not to manage Office 365 or be that help desk person that helps somebody else with Office 365. So not all of them need to know the ins and outs of Office 365. But a majority of your IT department should know that. So when that question comes up, they'll have an answer, or they'll know where to go to find it.
And, you know, we do have a couple of guys. The main guy is in security. I can tell just by how he's trying to do things with the network. But there's one really cool IT guy in my department. And what I like is, like, I'll ask him a question, and I can tell he knows the answer, because he'll say to me, I'll tell you what, you find out, because he knows I'm interested in getting to IT. And here's the clue. And he will tell me something that I can then say, okay, so it has to do with this. And then I can go and Google and do the research. And then I'll go back and I go, is it this? And he goes, you're in the right track, or no, you're not going the right way. You know, so he's pretty cool. But I remember the first time I ever said to him, oh, you know, I'm learning how to subnet or whatever. And he asked me a subnetting question, thinking that I was kidding. And I was able to answer it. And he was like, oh, so you're actually doing it for real. He said, you're not using the table. That's what he said to me, and he walked away. But, it, you know, it's really interesting to see someone like him that he's very unassuming and really knows his IT, and then the other guy that runs around thinking he knows everything and walks away when he can't answer a question, you know?
No, but, you know, I like I said, you know, it's interesting to see how no matter where I go in IT, there's a lot of things that we do, we all do them, and how difficult every IT department finds deploying workstations and setting up servers and setting up printers. Now, there's the technical aspect of that where you have different requirements and needs and so forth. Like in your particular organization, you have secure printing and all of that. So there are some things that I think make certain situations more difficult than others. But some things can be a process, and that process is not going to be very different from any other process you have in any other organization, whether that's for, say a Windows workstation, doing the updates, making sure the right applications are installed, documenting that you have 50 workstations, not 40, right? Sometimes people forget that they have certain devices on the network and they're not being managed. They're not updated because they forgot about them. So I think that's where we have a process that's slow, but it's working for us. Your list of things for your Raspberry Pis are growing. That's a good sign. We have documentation that we can use that's helping us speed up the process of setting up the Raspbian Lite when we configure it for a basic network connection. And these are good things. These are helping us move in the right direction.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
So anything else you want to add?
Yeah. I just don't want to be one of those people that think that knows it all and knows nothing, or the kind of person that doesn't know what kind of question to ask. So that's my hope. How about that?
And that comes with, you know, experience and practice. And you're getting some of that here. We can't do everything because it's a smaller environment.
Right.
But you're learning some of that. So you're going to see some things that,
But it's important to me to develop a set of skills that I can feel good about and I can feel confident about, not in an arrogant way, but in a way where I can just go and say, hey, I can do this. I can provide this service and I can make it work right.
And you're going to get there. And I think this process is going to help us out a lot because we're going to have a process for some things that you will see in an enterprise environment. Like how do we set up a Windows domain, right? What's the process of setting up Server 2016? Right. We're gonna walk through that, you and I, because some of that is a mystery to me. I've never done 2016. Now, there are going to be some things that are similar to Server 2012, which I have worked with. But again, what is the process for that? What things have to be installed? How do we manage that? What does it look like when we have multiple servers on the network? So there's a lot of things there that I think are going to really help us improve the way in which we provide IT services. And especially if we're going to do this as a business, we want to be able to repeat the process quickly for all of our clients. We don't want to have to reinvent the wheel each time.
No, I mean, the only thing that we would need to do is modify whatever it is we do for them based on their business needs. But the IT stuff should remain, I mean, the process should remain the same regardless of.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty good place to stop.
Yeah.
If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.